You may have noticed that the newspapers have expanded their coverage of local theater recently. This has meant more exposure and a better bottom line for off-loop theaters that had often gone unnoticed. And with more places to advertise and criticize, the theater publicist or press agent has a better chance of landing their clients the much-coveted feature story. 848 Theater contributor Jonathan Abarbanel recently sat down with three independent publicists to talk about their efforts to promote small theater. Barbara Kenzie is the president of Kenzie & Kenzie Communications, Jay Kelly is the principal of Off-Loop Productions, and Karen McKee is the principal of Tree Falls Productions. The clients range from Stage Left Theater, ETA Creative Arts Foundation, Victory Gardens, and the Metropolis Theater in Arlington Heights. With this many clients, Jonathan started by asking Karen McKee, what's the number one priority for an independent theater publicist?
Butts in seats. I mean, obviously there's a lot more than that, but I would say that's kind of paramount, is getting people to know about your show, be interested in your show, come to the show. Why is it unique? Why is it different? Why is it topical? Why is it newsworthy? That's what I spend a lot of time doing, meeting with the production staff when they select a show. Sometimes, hopefully, I'm in on season selection, too, so I can add the PR voice to that process. And from season selection on, how does it fit in the season? How does it fit in what else is going on in Chicago, in the U.S., in the world? How is it unique, and how can we get people to come see it? And that's when you start getting creative and crazy and how, you know, niche marketing.
Yeah. I think it's interesting right there. Probably most people don't realize that the publicist can be and probably should be involved at the starting point of the whole season. Jay Kelly, is it harder to promote and develop an audience for the smaller and medium-sized off-loop theaters than for the big shows?
I'm not sure if it's harder, per se. I would say it might be a different type of challenge. You're going after a different audience in many cases. It's maybe more niched. It may be, you know, I think the shows that are coming in downtown are really trying to appeal to a very broad audience because they've got a lot of seats to put butts in. And the theaters that I tend to work with are a lot more specialized. One, Victory Gardens, focuses almost entirely in new works. And so they have, you know, a very healthy subscription audience of 7,000 and an all-important single ticket audience that we, you know, desperately try to attract for every production to make our numbers. But it's a different kind of challenge. It's a different, everybody's going to be familiar with Seussical, for instance, in some vein, but not everybody's going to be familiar with Pearl Clegg's new play, Chicago Premier Bourbon at the Border. That's a whole different story that you have to try to tell and explain and bring it up to the forefront and find out what's newsworthy about it and convince the press that this is as viable of a story as what everybody obviously knows about that's happening downtown.
Chicago always has been known. I think it's getting better known for producing these great new playwrights. Mia McCullough, Brett Nevue, Claudia Allen has been here for a number of years, turning out great work. I'm sure I'm forgetting so many of them, but that's just a smattering. And so I feel like I'm promoting the city to the world as well in finding these, all of these theaters. Many of these theaters nurture, find, develop new playwrights. And it's getting the word out to our audience that you need to take a risk on a play you've never heard of, because it will be the next Neil Simon. I mean, it's happening now. The Tribune did a great piece on interviewing all these playwrights a few months ago.
Right.
We're getting some decent press with this groundswell of incredible talent of actors, designers, directors. And right now, it just seems playwrights are getting this this wonderful credit that they deserve. That's why I do it for long hours and very little pay, because I personally believe that these people deserve a voice. They need to be heard within Chicago, without Chicago.
Absolutely. There's no question about that. And in the case right now, I'm only representing ETA.
Okay.
But I have represented
ETA Creative Arts Foundation.
ETA Creative Arts Foundation. And as ETA also is focused on new works. ETA has a particular focus, though. Theirs is on works by African-American writers. As you know, David Barr is the associate artistic director at a Chicago theater company, and he's a prime example of a writer who's developing work within an institution, consistently developing work.
Yeah. He's an award-winning playwright whose works also have been done in other theaters in the city and around the country.
Mm-hmm.
Now, both ETA Creative Arts Foundation and Victory Gardens, company that Jay represents, are similar in the sense that they have programs for writers. They don't simply produce the plays, which is what the public knows about. But behind the scenes, they have thorough programs for the development and training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Downstage Left mm-hmm. and Chicago Dramatists. And
right.
There's a lot of great incubators in the city.
I should add also that all three of these companies, Victory Garden, Stage Left, which is only one of the companies that Karen represents, mm-hmm. and ETA Creative Arts, are all companies that have long histories. Mm-hmm. All of them are at least 20 years old. Stage Left, I think, is in its 21st year. Mm-hmm. Victory Gardens and ETA are 27
for ETA.
28.
Yeah.
We're on
good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Now, I want to pick up on a couple of things. Karen, the very first thing you said is the job of the publicist is to get butts in seats. That suggests that your ultimate audience, your target, is the ticket-buying public rather than members of the press, critics, or feature
Who?
Writers.
No, I've never heard of them.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Even though you are called press agents, right?
So yeah, which is true, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about how you work with the press, because really that's kind of the first point of contact.
Mm-hmm. And that does get the butts in mm-hmm. seats. I mean, if we can get people to write about it, that mm-hmm. will in turn.
So you want to get the critics out. You want to get reviews. But even more than that, you want to get
features.
Things that are not necessarily going to be critical, because you don't know whether the reviews are going to be
Correct.
Good or bad or
that's
indifferent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, half the game with a show that's running for 5 or 6 weeks is that is your window of opportunity. Obviously, advanced press helps, and you know you want that box office phone ringing mm-hmm. weeks and before you even
That's
begin
right.
previews, but mm-hmm. there's a finite time where that show is up and running and there are seats every night to be filled. And so every stray photo that might appear in the Friday section or the photo that illustrates the shortlist in the Chicago Reader, the prized positions are the Friday Weekend Plus, the mm-hmm. Friday section in the Tribune, the Sunday Arts and Entertainment section. You want to be in the columns. You want to be reaching press that, you know, there are broadcast outlets, TV and radio, that will pay attention to what we're trying to convince mm-hmm, them to mm-hmm. cover. There are opportunities for that. And it's just a matter of having someone who sincerely believes in what they're representing, which is key mm-hmm. to this endeavor. And it's probably why we're all here.
That's why we're really lucky, because
right.
we do it for very little
right.
money
I mean,
because we love it.
In the case of my client mix, I'm working with Victory Gardens. I'm working with Court Theater down in Hyde Park, which is I think making great strides in trying to fulfill their mission to become a national center of classic theater. That mm-hmm. is their niche. And Metropolis out in Arlington Heights, what they're attempting to do is to bring the best of Chicago theater, is not always in the city of Chicago.
Right. This is Arlington the Metropolis Heights. Performing Arts Center in Arlington Heights.
Correct, mm-hmm. correct. Mm-hmm. And then on behalf of the League of Chicago Theaters, which is the Trade and Marketing Association
right.
for all of Chicago's theater, the bottom line is that if somebody's working with these four organizations, they better like Chicago theater and better really feel sincere
no,
about what it is there's.
And I often feel like a choreographer. It's really,
yeah.
it's matching partners. You're a yenta. You're a matchmaker. I know certain critics don't like cigarette smoking on stage. No names mentioned. We all know who that is. Which is fine, which is totally valid. So I wouldn't send them to Defiance Burning Desires.
Right.
I mean, you know, and there's certain other critics that we know that love stage combat. So if you have a right. show with stage combat.
One of the greatest challenges among African American theaters is that there are very few African-American critics. There's so many critics who are only covering what they're really interested in. And that's a real challenge when you look at African-American theater. There are very few African-American critics out there. The few critics that we do have got a ton of stuff to cover. So it's a greater challenge for us. I mean, I'd really like to see a little more cultural diversity in the critics, the pool of critics that are available here in the city.
You know, the critics themselves, this is parenthetical, the critics themselves through the American Theater Critics Association are concerned about this and do discuss it amongst themselves. Unfortunately, the critics are not the ones who hire the critics.
That's right.
It's a question of managing editors and publishers.
And I must say WBEZ does very well. There's a good ethnic mix here of people that I've dealt with at the station, and it's appreciated because mm-hmm. it's not always out there. Yeah. It is very... I've worked on several African-American shows, Donna Marie Brandon's Five Rooms of Furniture, which was an African-American
yes.
South Side
mm-hmm.
story. And
mm-hmm.
Yes,
yeah,
definitely
well,
a lot of challenges.
It's a challenge,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Well, Barbara, let's talk about that, because mm-hmm. the ETA Creative Arts Foundation, it is a theater that is on the South Side.
Mm-hmm.
It plays largely, though certainly not exclusively, to an African-American audience.
Mm-hmm.
It is, in many ways, the classic niche or niche theater.
That's right, very much so. Very much so. And ATA has a very strong built-in audience. I mean, they have a wonderful subscription base. But in terms of reaching newer audiences, that's where we really need the support of the critics.
Well, I was going to ask whether you feel that the mass media, the mainstream media, the daily papers, radio stations, TV stations, tend to write off ETA Creative Arts Foundation. Do they feel it just isn't mainstream enough or doesn't appeal to a wide enough audience? In other words, do you concentrate your focus on radio stations, neighborhood publications, The Defender, and so forth? Or are you really going after as broad a coverage as you can
get? No, I go after as broad a coverage as I can get. We know that if we get press in the, if we get coverage in the black press, that we reach our audiences. But we also know that our audiences are great Sun-Times readers. Mm-hmm. So it's important for us to get a preview piece in the Sun-Times. You know, I'm after Mary all the time or Hetty all the time. And we do pretty well, you know, periodically getting a preview piece. But it's very, you know, the Sun-Times and the Tribune are equally important to us. The reader is equally important as the community press. Yeah.
Good. You're listening to 848 on WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. I'm Jonathan Abarbanel. We're talking this morning with three members of the public relations community in Chicago who represent some of our best off-loop theaters. We have Barbara Kenzie, president of Kenzie & Kenzie Communications, Jay Kelly, principal of Off-Loop Public Relations, and Karen McKee, principal of Tree Falls Productions. I want to get down to the, let's call it the nitty-gritty. What do you do when the reviews for a show are universally awful?
Shift gears.
Okay. What does that mean? How? What? How?
It's such a case-by-case basis what the content of the show is about. You know, it seems like every show has a story that might be viable for another section of the newspaper. You know, there's a great meal that's served. You go after the food section, and 2 weeks into the run, there's a big, glorious feature that has nothing to do with the fact that the critic did not like your show. You know, you have to really section out and go after press who aren't as worried about the critical response, I guess, you know.
Or, for example, you've got great costumes. You go to the fashion section, and you talk about the costumes. But again, this is really interesting how unique our space is, what a unique space we're in. I'm not sure how important critical review is in African-American theaters. I'm just not sure. They want to see the review. They want to see the photograph. The audiences, it's important because it says, it gives it some credibility and it says that it's important and all of that. But I don't think it matters what the review actually says. I don't think that matters at all, where in some cases I know a review can absolutely kill a show.
It can make or break it, but I think it's very true that you go to the audience. You go back again to the butts and seats of I just worked on Stageless Prairie Lights, which was a Jewish-focused show, and and it did get pretty good reviews, you know. I mean, you know, a little up and down, but for the most part pretty positive. Nothing particularly gangbusters, but the fact that it was the only Jewish holiday offering in a sea of Christmas carols, I went right to the Jewish community and actually ended up, I don't know if you do this too, well, now I'm sort of officially doing group sales, but I always semi-officially did it because you go to these groups and you say, we just want to let you know, and they go crazy, we love it. And so they don't care what the reviews say. Same thing. They're like, this is a show that speaks to me as a Jew, as my Jewish experience.
That's right.
You know, reviews be damned. They just wanted a show that spoke to them. So you go to the gay lesbian community who has a similar response. The black community has a similar response. Jewish community, I find, has a similar response.
Let me ask about reviews, about how important they actually are. I'm thinking, you know, we all know that Chicago is not like New York, where one review can make a hit. We don't have a single publication here with the power of the New York Times.
That's right.
So if you're doing a, your theater has a subscription base, it's a 5-week run or a 6-week run, you know, are the reviews that important at all? And if so, is it the Tribune review or is it Defender review or a Reader review or a Windy City Times review sometimes more important than the daily papers?
I'm a champion of the belief that it all comes together and it's not necessary. Certainly in some cases, if you get a huge rave in the Tribune, you've got great placement in the Tempo section, it comes out in a day where for whatever reason it just seems like everybody read the paper, you may very well have a box office success on your hand for the entire run. I've also seen occasions where that same formula has happened and nothing happened at the box office. And it seems like there's no rhyme or reason. I'm a constant advocate of saying it's a combination of everything. It's not only it's the press that is hit. It's the combination of reviews. It's the reader review that was positive that offset that negative Tribune review mm-hmm. that made ticket sales start bumping up towards the weekend. Mm-hmm. It's the column item that you got in Zwecker, which, you know, some people will say more people will read a Zwecker column item than will ever read a review, and that mm-hmm. that will drive more box office a Sun-Times review, mm-hmm. and that a little thing like that will, you know, bump up a box office phone line more than a huge review. But what I'm trying to say is that it's the combination of everything, mm-hmm. the ads working with the press, the direct marketing, the efforts to subscriptions. All the theaters that I work with take all forms of marketing very seriously. Press is just one component.
And word of mouth, as everybody right. always says, is the number one. And if your show's got a good buzz.
And radio. You can't – I mean, it's very important. So, I mean, here we're sitting in this – in the studio, radio is so important, particularly for African-American audiences. They tend to listen to the radio. I agree with Jay. I mean, it's a mix of things. And if anything is missing,
correct.
It can kind of make the difference in whether a show has a good audience or a good run or not.
Right.
So it's a mix of things.
Let me ask you another tough question. Every theater artist, whether it's an actor or a director, certainly you as publicist gets involved in a project and you know from someplace in the middle of rehearsals that this show is really bad, it's really a turkey, it's a bomb, it's a loser, and there's no way that it's going to, you know, that it's going to be good. Yet your job as a publicist is to make the most of it that you can. How do you get over that hump?
Jonathan, we're paid to love them all.
That's right. Pace smiles on her face. Although I do feel very strongly that everybody has a right to share their artistic voice and vision.
Yes.
And it's too bad if that voice is mediocre or ill-formed or ill-conceived. But that's keeps me going and keeps me honest and keeps me from, you know, feeling like I'm prostituting myself.
Right.
Is that because I myself is an actor. I am an occasional writer. I know how hard it is to commit a play to a piece of paper.
But if you just really don't like the show, and I have been in that situation
right.
before, I mean, you've got to look at something else. You look at the playwright.
Right.
Has the playwright, do they have a body of work that has been important before you got to this particular piece? Or you look at the actor, you know, is there an actor who has a strong presence in the show that you can sell their history rather than selling the show as a whole? Because, I mean, it's really difficult for me personally to sell a show that really, I lack the enthusiasm.
Right.
I just have a hard time getting excited about a show that I don't like.
You have right. to do it whether you like it or not, but
yeah.
it's a lot easier if you like it.
That's
yes.
certainly true. I would also add, though, that there's a level of trust. And when you sign on for a season with a theater, I'm under the assumption that all five plays are going to be good. I really am. And I
the
go
critic
into
laughs
and until the exactly. And until we're reading the reviews the day after, you know, it's the best thing since sliced bread.
And it's still better than selling hamburgers. I mean, that's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm still selling theater. I'm sorry if it's mediocre theater, but I'm still putting art and beauty and pathos out there rather than burgers and fries.
And part of what Chicago theater does, and people say this, have said this for many, many years, is Chicago theater protects the artist's right to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Not that that is what the intent is, but
no.
you grow through failure as you grow through success,
mm-hmm.
and that's part of the process.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for joining me this morning and talking a little bit about the behind-the-scenes magic and craft that you exert to make sure people know about the plays that are being produced in Chicago. We've been talking with Barbara Kenzie, president of Kenzie & Kenzie Communications, Jay Kelly, principal of Off Loop Public Relations, and Karen McKee, principal of Tree Falls Productions. I thank all three of you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Okay.
For 848 on WBEZ Chicago Public Radio, I'm Jonathan Abarbanel.